Good to see you. Starting to feel like fall out there. That's nice, but it's still August. We have summer left, so don't despair, you summer lovers. We are slowly working our way through here at Cedar Creek. We always take the summer and do one series the whole summer. And so we've been working slowly through a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's an interesting book. If you've spent much time in the Bible, it's one of those Old Testament books that I don't know if people spend a whole lot of time reading it. You know, some books in the Bible are stories, and you can read about different people and the dramas unfold. And some books of the Bible are instruction and, you know, just real helpful interaction, advice, and things like that. Ecclesiastes is an interesting book because sometimes you read it and you're left scratching your head and thinking, I'm not sure what I just read. And so we've been spending some time this summer just walking through a very, very, very short passage in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's good to remember, as we talk through this, what I think that book was written for. You know, God wrote the Bible. God laid it out for us very systematically with a very real goal in mind. And that goal was he wanted to speak to you and I. In all kinds of ways. God wants to instruct us as a good dad will. He wants to teach us. God wants to comfort us and encourage us like a friend, like a father would. God wants to command us like a good creator, a good commander will. God wants to challenge and rebuke us. There's all these different things that God wants to do. And so he gave us all these different books of the Bible to help us to hear from him. I think that the book of Ecclesiastes was written to do a specific thing. And I'm curious if anyone, I've said it many times, what is it that the book of Ecclesiastes, at least according to me, so what I keep saying every Sunday, what is it that the book of Ecclesiastes is meant to do? Someone want to shout it out? Live well in a broken world. We need to live in this world. We need to know how to go through life. I mean, all of us wake up today and say, I hope this is a good day today. I mean, nobody wakes up and says, I'm really looking forward to a bad, horrible day. That's what I'm shooting for. I hope this week just is terrible. No, we don't do that. We say, I want to live well today. But we live in a world that doesn't work so well, does it? We live in a world that doesn't always go the way that we want it to. We live in a world that doesn't always do what we would hope that it would do. And so we have to live in this broken world. And the world is broken. There's no question about it. But you and I are living in that world. And so God tells us, hey, recognize that you need to live in this world, this broken world, this world where things hurt sometimes, this world where things go poorly, this world where there's opposition to you, this world where there's evil. There's evil in the world that we live in. And so how do you live well in this world? But there's one more thing. We need to live well in a broken world. But how do we do that? We live what? In light of eternity. Recognizing that even though this world is broken, God isn't. God is not broken. He's not fooled. He's not flummoxed. He doesn't look at this and say, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do in this situation. God never finds himself in a place where he's just, I don't know what to do. I'll just wait. No, God doesn't get there. God is perfect, and God is engaged with you in this world. You know, if you and I would grasp this, believe this, cling to this one thought, that God is engaged with you as you walk through this world. That's amazing to me. It's such a simple thing to say. And yet when I recognize the reality of it, that the God who created the universe walks through my day with me. Wow. He walks through my day with me. The things that I experience, he sees, he hears, he knows. He knows what I feel. He knows what I'm thinking. When I get to the end of my day, he's still there with me. And when I talk to him about what happened that day, he knows all about it because he saw it as well. He experienced it as well. When I wake up the next morning, I'm still with him. And that's true of you as well. God's desire is to be with you. Now, we need to work at that some. There are things that have to happen, but God's desire is to live through your world with you. And so, we live in a broken world, live well in a broken world, but we do it in light of reality. So that's what this whole series has been about. We've been going through these paired things where there's a time to do this, a time to do that. There's a time for everything. And again, this is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it's a famous passage that just, there's a time for all this stuff. And we've been slowly working through all these times, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to search, a time to quit searching, all these different things. There's a time to do this and a time to do that. And God gave us these things to help us to live well in a broken world, but recognizing that he's living with us. So today, we're getting close to the end here. There's only a few left, and the one that we're going to talk about today is this. There's a time to be quiet and a time to speak. Time to be quiet and a time to speak. Nothing earth-shattering about that, I don't think. Although, there are some of us who really resonate more with one of those than the other, right? There are some of us who really understand there's a time to be quiet. In my household, there are people who, if you said there's a time to be quiet, that would make perfect sense to them. If you said there's a time to be quiet to other people in my household, that wouldn't make any sense at all. Because it's always the time to speak. And there are people in my household where if you said it's time to speak now, they think, really? Other people, not so much. If you know my kids, I'll let you guess who is who. But there's a time to be quiet, a time to speak. Now, as we get into this, I want to start with a couple of just preliminary things here. And I think it's important that we understand, when we think about this topic, our words, the things that we say, and that's what this is talking about, physically speaking, words coming out of our mouth, having conversations. It's important for us to recognize a couple things. Here's the first one, that the words that come out of your mouth are powerful. Words have great power. In Proverbs here, Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The tongue can bring death or life. Wow, there's a lot of power there. This afternoon, we're going to do our youth rendezvous. And that's why I'm wearing my Sportsman's Club shirt here. And if you're unfamiliar with that, we take the kids out to Westgate Sportsman's Club, and we teach them how to shoot the .22s and shoot the shotguns and shoot the bows and arrows. Well, all of those things have great power, don't they? There's power in that .22, and you think, oh, it's just a .22. Well, yeah, it's just .22. There's power there. Our words have power. Our words are like a knife, and a knife can cut. A knife can separate. A knife can be used for good or for bad. And our words are the same way. That's what this said. The tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. What that means is our words always have an impact. Very seldom do our words just kind of mean nothing. When I say something, it has some kind of an impact. Almost always. That's what it's saying here. And that impact can be good or bad. Our words can have a very, very powerful effect. Just one verse before this, Proverbs 18, verse 20, says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. Wow. Words can be powerfully good, right? They satisfy. They bring satisfaction. It's like a good meal. It just makes you feel full, and it tastes good. And so our words can be powerfully good, can't they? We can say something that's very encouraging. We can say something that's very instructing. Words can have an incredibly good impact, but they can be powerfully bad as well. And in the book of James, this is an interesting little passage. Here in James chapter 3, I'll start reading a little bit before this. It says, you know, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue, or our words, is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire, it says. And he says in verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Wow. Well, there's power there too, isn't there? It says that, you know, a little rudder can turn the ship, and a little spark can cause a whole forest to burn down. And he compares that to our words. Your tongue, the things that you say, can have this powerfully bad impact as well. It can be a restless evil full of deadly poison. So our words can be powerful. They can be powerfully good, and they can be powerfully bad. And like I said before, sometimes I think that we can think, well, my words don't mean that much. I don't think that's true. Because, well, let me read here. In Matthew 12, because words are so powerful, because words can be powerfully good or powerfully bad, this is true. Words have consequence. In fact, Jesus says this here in Matthew 12, verse 36. He says, and I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. Now, I don't know all that that means. I don't know exactly all that that means, but I think Jesus is telling us, hey, the words that come out of your mouth are not just throw away. They have an impact. They can be very powerfully good. They can be very powerfully bad. And you and I are going to answer someday to God for all of the words that come out of our mouth. And you know why he's going to know that? Well, because he walked through your life with you. We talked about that earlier. He hears every word you say, and he never forgets. Now, what does that mean again? I don't know all of what that means, but I believe Jesus when he says, you know what? He and I someday are going to have a conversation about everything that came out of my mouth, everything I'm saying right now. So, the point to this, all of this, is what? Well, our words are powerful. They can be powerfully good, they can be powerfully bad, so we need to think about them a little bit. We need to really think before we speak, think about how we speak, think about what we say, think about the words that come out of our mouth. And God, in his goodness, one of the things I love about God is he says, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have to answer to him for every word that comes out of my mouth. But then he says, because that's true, Rob, I'm going to give you all kinds of help as you go through your life. And God's going to give you all kinds of help as you go through your life to know, okay, how should I use my words? And God fills up his word. God fills up the Bible with all kinds of great help to you and I as we go through our life, as we go through our day. Hey, if you do this with your words, this is what's going to happen. Do this with your words because then that'll be good. Don't do this with your words because that's going to be bad. God doesn't just say, okay, I'm watching, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. No, he says, hey, I can help you with this. If you want to really know how to speak well, I have a very, very, very practical thing for you to do. And that's this. Spend time just reading in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written primarily to help us know how to just kind of interact with each other on a daily basis, how to just deal with life as it comes up. Proverbs is filled. God spends a ton of time talking to us in Proverbs about how to talk, how to speak, what to say. If you're looking for some real, real, real practical advice on this, spend time in Proverbs. You can get little books that are just Proverbs. My son has one that's it's Living Proverbs. It's the New Living Translation, and it's just the Proverbs, and you can just read through it. I would encourage you to do it. Proverbs is a fantastic tool that God gives you to help you to learn. Trains us how to think about what we say, how we say it, okay? So what we're going to do today, with all of that prelim, is talk a little bit about what does God tell us about when is it a time to speak, when is it a time not to speak. Because that's what we said, there's a time to be quiet, a time to speak. So what we're going to do here is kind of look at this in different contexts and let God say to us, hey, in this context, here's a time to speak. In this context, here's a time not to speak, okay? That's what we're going to do. Three different things, and we're going to start with, and one more caveat. I know I just keep saying that. This is going to be, I think, just extremely hands-on and practical. I think. in this situation, this is what should come out of my mouth. Because God gives us all kinds of that practical advice in the Bible. In this specific situation, this is what I should do. This is what I should say. This is what I should not say. We're going to try to do that. Now, the problem with that is we cannot touch, number one, on everything that God says. Number two, on every situation that you're going to come up against. So we're going to throw these things out there, but if you really want to do this well, this message, what we're going to do here for the next few minutes, is just the beginning for you. Because the trick is, as you go through life, you want to live life well in this broken world, you got to do it holding on to God's hand, listening to Him, spending time in His Word, talking to Him in every situation. What should I do here? How should I speak now? We can't just lay out the template here and here's the chart, you know. And in this situation, at this time, I say these words. No, it doesn't work that way. But in the exact situation, you can say, God, what should I say? God, should I say anything at all? And God can and will speak to you. So we're going to kind of talk through that a little bit. But ultimately, you and I have something way better than listening to me talk for a few minutes here. You're going to forget 98% of what I say. I hope you remember 2%. And that's fine. And you're going to leave here, and I'm going to go one way, and you're going to go another. But God is sitting here with you right now. And there's probably something He wants to look in your eyes and tell you today. Probably. And then, when He says that to you, He's going to leave here with you. And as your day goes on, as the weeks go on, you're going to find yourself in a situation where He reminds you of that. Remember that? That's what's cool about this. That's what's exciting about this, that God can speak to you now and then take that into your life and speak to you later. So we're just going to give God a chance to speak to us now, recognizing that He'll bring this up probably later, okay? So time to be quiet, a time to speak. In these different contexts, different situations, here's the first one. When you're in a conversation, okay? You've already entered into a conversation. You're out in the foyer. You're at home. You're on the phone, whatever. You're in a conversation. Well, there's a time in that conversation to talk. And that may, again, seem pretty silly. But for some of us, we need to remember that. I was actually talking to Mark Anderson. He's another one of the pastors here. And I was telling him, we were just kind of talking through this message. And he said to me, yeah, my wife will sometimes tell me, okay, Mark, this is the time for you to talk. Oh, okay. And then he'll start to talk. Some of us are internal processors. Some of us are just very quiet. Some of us are introverts, whatever. In a conversation, there is a time for words to come out of your mouth. Makes sense. That's what it says there. The words of the godly encourage many. It's just good to recognize that, hey, you know what? My words in this conversation right now can be encouraging. And so we need to recognize that in our conversations, there's a time to talk. About what? Well, could be anything. And again, here's a proverb that I think about when I'm thinking about this. This is Proverbs 16. There's actually two in a row here, 23 and 24. It says, from a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. And the very next verse says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. So when you're in a conversation and it's time to talk, one thing to think about is the words that we share. According to this, it says, from a wise mind come wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. One of the purposes of your words in a conversation is to stir understanding, isn't it? That's what it says. Hey, I'm going to be persuasive. I'm going to be wise. The words that are coming out of my mouth, part of what's designed here is to stir understanding. I was having a conversation with my son this morning on the way in where I was trying to explain something. This is what the situation is, and as an older man, as a dad, this is what I see. I was trying to stir understanding in him. Does that make sense? And we know that. Sometimes we're trying to speak in a way so as to be understood. That's a very, very good thing. But that second one is interesting. It says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. You know, another thing that your words do in a conversation is they stir emotion. And that's good as well. Sometimes you just want to be encouraging. You're doing great. later on, I came up to my son and says, you know what? I really like you. I wasn't trying to explain anything at all. I was trying to explain away yelling at him earlier, perhaps. But sometimes our words just stir emotion, and that's good too. A kind word is sweet to the soul. Oh, wow, I like that. Healthy for the body. So in a conversation, sometimes we speak to be understood, to draw near. There's just a time for that, okay? Makes sense. And one of the great things is, I've discovered as I've gotten older, that in the middle of a conversation, I can say to God, Lord, what should I say here? And you may think, oh gosh, I don't know, how's that work? There have been so many times when I'm in a conversation, and maybe I've been in a conversation with you, and I got the deer in the headlights going, I have no idea what to say next. And in the past, you know what I would do? I'd just say something. Pull that back. And I've learned, no, God, what should I say here? And it's so good that he can remind me, he can tell me things to say. There's a time to talk in conversation, but there's a time to listen as well. In a conversation, there's a time to talk, and there is also a time to listen. And in Proverbs 18, verse 13, says this, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Part of what a conversation about is I'm speaking to be understood, but I'm also listening to understand. I struggle with this mightily, and it's not good. But I know that I speak before I've heard a person out. It just happened to me yesterday morning. We meet regularly with a bunch of guys, and Brad Blomberg, he's in here somewhere. I just saw him. He was talking, and I just started talking over the top of him. And I thought, I do this all the time. I did it, didn't I? Yeah, I did. The problem is our brains work a whole lot faster than our mouths. So when someone is speaking, they can only speak so many words a minute. My brain can process a whole lot more words per minute than their mouth can speak. So they start to speak, and I fill in all the blanks. You know, before they even get halfway done, I've just decided this is where they're going. I've already formulated a response to it, and I come back and say, you can stop now because I'm going to talk. Well, I haven't listened. I do that all the time. But remember what we said? Words are powerful. I'll be held to account. We think that's kind of funny. You know what God says? It's shameful. It's foolish. It's shameful and foolish. And the reality is that when I do that, it's shameful. It's foolish. And we have to recognize this, guys. Our words have consequence. And when I do that, I believe someday God's going to say, remember that time on that Saturday morning? Brad was trying to talk and you just ran over the top of him. That was shameful and foolish. We don't like that so much. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. So there's a time in conversation to listen. And I like this verse. And it seems funny when you read it. But it is so good. It's Proverbs 10:19. It says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Yeah. It's time just to not say anything. There's a time in a conversation where you really, 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 really want to say something. And the time is, no, I'm not done listening yet. Be sensible and keep your mouth closed. It's really hard. Has anyone ever tried to? In fact, I want you to do this. You've heard the phrase, bite your tongue. If you put the tip of your tongue between your teeth, you can still talk. Try this. Put your whole tongue, the sides and the front, between your teeth and try to talk. Try it. Try it. Your whole tongue, the sides and the front, everything. There's a time to bite your tongue. Within conversations, there's a time to bite your tongue and not say anything. All right. In conversations, there's a time to talk. There's a time to listen. Here's another context. Let's switch context. That's if you're in a conversation. You are face-to-face with someone. You're on the phone, whatever. You're talking. There's a time to talk. There's a time to listen. Let's switch context a little bit and back up. And in relationships, not when you're actually in a conversation, let's just take a step back. In relationships, there is a time to converse. In other words, there's a time in a relationship, if you have a relationship with someone, whatever that relationship is, parent-child, siblings, friends, boss, you know, employer-employee, whatever. In those relationships, there's a time to converse. There's a time to have conversations, to begin conversations. Different reasons why you would have a conversation in a relationship. I like this verse here in Proverbs 27:9. It says, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. In other words, because you're a friend, because you have a relationship with a person, there's a time to just give them your counsel. There's a time to speak to them and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing, or they ask you a question and you can give them your understanding. You can kind of come alongside and just talk through life with them. And it says, wow, that's sweet. Oh, it just smells good. And in that relationship, there's that time to have that conversation with that person. Sometimes, just a few verses earlier, and this is harder for many of us, I think, same kind of thing. It says this, Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Now, what he's talking about there is a rebuke. Sometimes, in a relationship, we need to say, you know what, you're really not doing what you need to do. And I've had those conversations both directions. And they're good. They're, because I have a relationship with you, because you're my sincere friend, I'm going to have a conversation with you that's not going to be real pleasant necessarily, but it's still good. It's the right time to do it. We need to have that conversation. As a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a time just to tell your kids, you're the best thing that ever happened to me in the world. I'm just so proud of you. Then there are times to tell your kids, you know what? You just can't do that anymore, and you are way out of line, and you need to be different. We understand that in that relationship, but you know what? Sometimes in other relationships that happens. So the point is, within relationships, whatever that relationship is, if it's a friend, if it's a family, if it's at work, at church, there are times to engage in conversation. And sometimes we have to, again, for some of us, the trick is to step into that conversation because our natural tendency would be to stay back, to lay back, to not ever say anything, to not engage in conversation. That's my tendency, is to not speak, believe it or not. And my tendency is to step back and to not talk. See, it's easy for me to talk here because none of you are talking back to me. But in an actual conversation, I shy away from that. Some of us are like that. I need to recognize God says, no, Rob, step in. Use your words with your wife, with your children, with your friends, with your co-pastors, with the people around you. Get on the phone, make a phone call, engage in conversation. There's also a time in relationship not to converse. And sometimes this can be the harder one to understand, perhaps, that, okay, if I have a relationship with someone, well, then it's always the time to begin a conversation. That's not true. That's not true. Sometimes you don't go there. Sometimes you don't get into the conversation with a person. That's what it says here in Job. His friends here in Job chapter 2, he was having a terrible time. Job was, and his friends came to him and saw him, and it says this, then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for he saw that his suffering was too great for words. These are his friends. So here's a relationship. This is a relationship. These are his close friends. But the time was not to converse. For 7 days, they sat on the ground, 7 days and nights. That's a long time. Some of us, I was having this conversation with someone. If you're in a car with someone on a long trip, and there's just two of you in the car, how long can you go with nothing being said? How long can you go? Hours.
Only a few seconds.
Oh, only a few seconds, yes. Well, there's a time to go for hours or perhaps days in close proximity with someone with no conversation. There's a time to have that conversation, but here we see there's a time not to. Learning how to do that, recognizing that, is powerful. Because sometimes, guys, we said that words are powerful. Sometimes the lack of words is just as powerful, and where the great power comes in what is not said, and how we deal with that, okay? Sometimes, in relationship, we don't converse. Now, what would that be? Well, that's hard to say. And again, we can't get into every situation here. Let me just give you a few thoughts. Just a few, and this is not all of them, and in every circumstance you need to talk to the Lord. But here in Proverbs 26, there's a whole string of thoughts here that God gives us in Proverbs 26 about this topic, when it might be a time not to converse, okay? So let's just walk through these a little bit. One time that it might be good not to converse is it's not my relationship, or my relationship doesn't enter into what's going on here. In verse 17 of Proverbs 26, it says, interfering in someone else's argument is as foolish as yanking a dog's ears. Ever do that? See, God, this is so much fun. Go home and find a dog and pull on his ears. Preferably not your own dog, and see what happens. But God says, you know what? There's a time, if that's not your quarrel, that there's a relationship going on. And how many times has this happened? We see a relationship going on, and we may have a relationship with one or both of those people, and so we feel the need to step into it when we don't need to, because that's between them, and we need to step away. That's what God is saying. Even though I have a relationship, maybe here, maybe both, there's a time to say, this is not my conversation. I need to back away. And sometimes we need to not only back away, we need to close the door and walk away and not even come back and ask what that was all about. No, that's hard. But sometimes we got to do that. When? How? I don't know. You got to work that out with the Lord. But there's a time, because it's not my relationship, or my relationship is not what's at stake here. My relationship is not the basis of this conversation, or I don't do it. That's one time. Here's another one. If I want to say something that is not true. Listen to this. This is Proverbs 26. Just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, I was only joking. Ooh. You know, God doesn't pull any punches here. A madman shooting a deadly weapon. That's not, oh, you know, he probably shouldn't do that. How often have you said something and then tried to get away with it by saying, oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go there. That's what it's saying. If it's not true, you very likely don't want to say it. In fact, I would probably say you don't want to say it. If it's not true, don't say it, no matter what your relationship is with that person. Here's another one. It may be true, but it may not be loving. In verse 20, fire goes out without wood and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. You know, sometimes we think of gossip as being something that's not true. I think oftentimes gossip is true. When you're saying something about someone, it's true, but you're saying it in a way to hurt. You're saying it in a way to wound. Just because something is true doesn't mean you should say it. Is it helpful? Is it loving? Is it productive? You got to ask that question. Is it true? But is it helpful? Is it loving? Is this person going to be better off from hearing me say this or not? Sometimes we just need to bite our tongue again. And you know what? We talk about words being powerful. Your words have the most power with the people that you are closest to. The people that know you the best, love you the most, the people that you love the most, your words are the most effective and powerfully good, or they are the most powerfully bad. And it is here, so often, with our spouse, with our kids, with our closest friends, that we say something stupid because we just didn't think. We need to recognize, and my wife is getting very, very good at this. In fact, just yesterday, she started to say something, and she said, nope, not going to say that. And I want to say, well, tell me. I want to know now. But I think we both had to have the wisdom to recognize, you know what, she doesn't think it's a good idea and I'm not going to push it. Even though we have a relationship, there are times to say something just because it's not helpful and loving. Here's another reason to maybe in a relationship not say something, and it's in verse 4. Now, this is going to sound harsher than I intend it, but it says this: don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. I'm not saying that people are always foolish. I'm saying this: there are times to not enter into a conversation with someone, your friend, your spouse, your child, because they're not ready for it. It won't help. They're not at a place where you can have a helpful, good conversation. And so you just don't have that conversation. Then you wait. You be patient. I have failed in this with my kids time and time again, where there's something going on and I feel the need as a dad. I got to get in there right now and change this right now. And looking back, I think it would have been much better to wait for a week, a month, a year, perhaps, because they're not ready yet to hear what I have to say. Might be true, might be completely sincere on my part, but they're not ready, so I'm going to be patient and wait. There are times in relationship when that's true. There are times in relationship when you're not ready to speak. Proverbs 26 still. Verse 23, smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. People may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they're deceiving you. You know what? Sometimes I shouldn't have a conversation with someone I know and love because I'm not ready. My heart isn't right. I'm angry. I'm going to say things that I regret, and I need to wait. Even if you're ready for this conversation, I need to have the wisdom and the discernment for God to tell me, I'm not ready. Step back. Get your own heart squared away first, Rob. So within relationships, and again, guys, these are just a few thoughts. There are many other situations. As you read through Proverbs, as you talk to God, as you go through your life, he'll help you to recognize in relationships, when's it time to converse, when's it time not to, okay? One more context. One more situation. We talked about in a conversation, when to speak, when to listen. Talked about in a relationship, when to converse, when to not converse. One more thing, just real briefly, and I'd love to spend a whole lot of time on this. I'm not going to. It's really a message for another day. But it's just good to recognize that with God, that's true as well. And there's a time to be heard. In Proverbs 5 here, it's interesting to see what David is saying and the things he's asking of God. Oh, Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. Look at all the times he says in there, Lord, I'm going to speak. Please hear me. There is a time in your relationship with God to be heard. He wants to hear your voice. That's what he says. Listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Little kids say that, don't they? Listen to my voice. At least my little kid said that. And we think it's funny. Oh, that's so funny. They don't really understand the grammar and the context. Well, all they really have to say is listen to me. David said, hey, my voice is happening here. There's noises coming out of my mouth, and God, please listen to them. There is a time to be heard by God for your words to physically go to heaven. I don't understand this. I know God can understand your heart. I don't know all of this. I think it's very helpful. I think it's very helpful in your relationship with God for your voice to be heard, the words to come out of your mouth, to speak to God. And he wants to hear you. You know, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, sin separates us from God. Sin tears us away from God. God says because of our sin, because we've rebelled against him, he's turned on us and he doesn't hear our prayers because sin is such a terrible thing and the consequence demands death, gone, separation from God. But Christ came to pay my penalty and to restore my relationship with God. So now, because of my sin, I was separated from God. Christ died. He paid that penalty and that was enough and God brought me back into his home and not just into his home, into his throne room, into his most personal, intimate parts of the home. There's no place with God that I'm not welcome. You know that it says in Proverbs that God will bring you into his counsel. It's like he's sitting there with all of the angels who are in charge of the galaxy, says, hey, come on in, Rob. Sit down here next to me and let's talk about this. Do you believe that? Oh, I do. I do. I think God wants to hear my voice. I think God likes to, because I'm just as, we got to find out what Rob wants. No, he doesn't care what I want. He wants me, and he wants to hear my voice because I'm his boy. And there are times in your relationship with God when he wants to hear your voice. But there are times when you need to be still. And it's good to learn to be still in the presence of the Lord. This is Job again. Then Job replied to the Lord, I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say. One of the great blessings that we have, guys, is that we have the opportunity to sit with God in silence and to be comfortable. He's comfortable with it, and I can as well. I can sit in his lap. I can remember when my kids were little, they would come and just sit in my lap. We didn't have to talk. I wasn't giving them commands. I wasn't teaching them. We were just together in silence. And that drew our hearts together. And you can sit in silence with the Lord, and it will draw your heart to his. Have you learned how to be in God's presence silently? Not apart from God, but in God's presence silently. Oh, there's power there. There's joy there. There's comfort there. There's peace there. There's a time in your relationship with God to be heard. There's a time to be still. We could talk about this, guys, forever. And we're not gonna, because it's time to be silent. Time for me to be quiet. But I would encourage you in a couple of things. Read Proverbs. It will help you in this. It is just absolutely designed to help you know when to speak and when not to, what to say, what not to say. Spend time in the Proverbs. And then, as you walk throughout your day, in every circumstance, get into the habit of saying, God, what do you want me to say here? You want me to say anything? What should I say? You'll be amazed at the answers that God gives you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you really want us to live well in this broken world. And thank you that more than just wanting it, you come alongside and help us to do it. So Lord, I just pray for each of us that we would learn what that looks like. And increasingly, we would learn, Lord, to know when is the time to be quiet, when is the time to speak. But Lord, I just pray that we would get that from you, from your presence, from your word. You help us to understand this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.